God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to these stations to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Church Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry to introduce our broadcast.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. Again today, Brother Hutchings and I will be discussing information found in his book, As It Is in the Days of Noah, the new updated edition. And Brother Hutchings, you know, one of the things that we've not talked about regarding this book on the last few programs is the fact that all throughout the book, you list headlines from various years during your life. And I think that's probably one of the reasons that school teachers like to use this book maybe as a history book, because it does give some information. And as a matter of fact, some headlines that you might not normally think of. For example, we're going back now to the year 1929. That's whenever the stock market crashed. And here are the headlines, or a few of them at least, from newspaper headlines from that year. January 13th, Wyatt Earp, always quick on the trigger.
Wyatt Earp was still alive at that time.
Right. And here on January 24th, Einstein reduces physics to one law, E equal MC squared.
Wow.
Didn't realize it was 1929. February 11th, the papacy gets state in pact with Italy. February 17th, passengers watch a movie on an airplane. I didn't realize that happened in 1929. That is really unusual. How about this one? April 1st, Billy Sunday packs them in for Jesus. And May 31st, Ford will help Soviets build cars. That, of course, is Henry Ford. June 27th, color television is shown by Bell Labs. I remember the first TV we had. It was black and white.
That was in 1948, something like that.
Yeah, somewhere along there.
But television is much older than that.
Uh-huh.
It did not come out perfected and marketed, really, until after World War II. But actually, there was color television back in 1929.
Isn't that amazing? And here's another one. August 31st, Arab revolt as result of dispute with Jews. Nothing's changed much there. But then on October 24th, Black Thursday, the stock market crash. And, of course, that was a black letter day in the history of the United States. Let me turn over here to the year 1941. This is the year I was born, so I kind of like this one. January 18th, Roosevelt submits Lend-Lease Arms Plan. February 14th, Bulgaria accepts Nazi occupation. You see, the war is beginning to heat up. March 27th, Yugoslavia repudiates offered Nazi occupation. April 17th, German forces invade Yugoslavia. April 27th, Greek army capitulates to Axis. April 28th, Supreme Court rules Negroes can travel in first-class section. That was in 1941. May 10th, Hess lands in Scotland on mysterious mission. On May 27th, Bismarck sinks British Hood. 3 days later, the British sink the Bismarck. I think they made a movie about that one, didn't they? And but these are just a few of the things that happened during these years. And then, of course, the infamous day, December 7th, 1941, Japanese Armada devastates Pearl Harbor, bulk of Pacific Fleet sunk. And there are headlines like this all through the book so that you can look in here and find out what was actually happening in the world, in the United States, or the world during the time that Brother Hutchings speaks of what happened to him.
Certainly, and each year through those years, we have headlines, and you know, it's amazing to go back and read the headlines of those years. And that's really one reason why history teachers get this book for class study. Also, my description of life in the 1920s and 1930s during the Depression.
Right.
I give a personal account that is different from the historical account. It's just not a dry reading account. Really, it's what we went through during those years and the condition of the country at that time and the changing times in which we live. And I know I've received so many, many letters concerning this book. It's really been amazing and a real surprise to me. I mentioned this before, maybe, but one lady, I think, from Oregon, maybe Portland or Washington, wrote that she had an unsaved uncle and he was dying of cancer. And she had never been able to win him to Christ. And she gave him a copy of my book, her copy, and said he read that book over and over. And when he died, he had told her the few days before that he would see her in heaven. So she took that as an indication that he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he died, they rolled him over, and there was a copy of my book under him.
Wow.
And she said she had another uncle that was not saved, and she ordered a book to give to him. And I could tell so many, many other stories about how this particular book of mine has touched the lives of other people. But, you know, after I came to work for Southwest Radio Church, as I related on the last program, and how I was saved, Dr. Weber and I became close friends. He had come up and he called me Hutch. He'd say, "Hutch, close up your typewriter. Let's go fishing." So we were good buddies, and the typewriter shown on the cover, he bought that typewriter for me in 1952. It's a Royal typewriter.
And I thought it was a 51 model, but it's 52.
It's 52 model.
Okay.
And as you know, it's still on my desk.
Absolutely.
I still use it every day.
And you mentioned the other day that you could type 100 words a minute. And I'll tell you what, my office is right across from yours. And when you're in there on that thing, I believe it. It sounds like a machine gun.
And it didn't lose a screw until last year. And we had to try to find a repairman. And we finally found one in Topeka, Kansas, who could still work on a 1952 Royal.
Wow.
So we had to ship it up there to him, and he fixed it and shipped it back. But that's the only thing that has ever happened to that. And I've took that typewriter, I guess, all over the world with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always write, work, and even on tours, I take my typewriter sometimes. And when I had a heart attack in 1999, December 1999, I still had to do work. And the doctors and everyone was amazed. They heard my typewriter up and down the hall at the hospital.
Now, that's a part of the book that's going to come later, right?
Right.
Yeah, because that was after the original. So that's a part of this addition that's been made to this book, as it is in the days of Noah. Even if you have the first one, you'll want to get this one because it's got more information in it. But let's go back, Brother Hutchings, to your time with the ministry starting back in 1951. Tell us about some of the things that happened.
Of course, I kept books, and after Dr. Weber was called on to be with the Lord in 1959, I worked with the two sons, David and Charles. Charles died unexpectedly, I think it was 1962. That left David. I worked with David until 1988, and I don't have time on the program today and again tomorrow to go through everything that happened during those years. I do have it in my book.
Mm-hmm.
One of the marvelous experiences I've had with the ministry is in missions. Also in leading Bible tours and going to many, many parts of the world. I don't know how many millions of miles I've traveled or even how many countries I've visited, but it's been one of the pleasures that God has allowed me. I know the first month I worked for Southwest Radio Church Ministries, I wrote a check for $110,000 to Sudan Interior Mission alone, for the maintenance of mission station in the Sudan. And today we wonder about Sudan. Why are all the Christians being killed there? And where did the Christians come from? Well, they came from Southwest Radio Church Ministry sustaining mission stations in Sudan. And you think of all the missions, China Inland Mission, the African Inland Mission, the Nepal Border Mission, and we could go on and on and on. And we simply do not have time to recount the various missionaries that we've supported and our mission abroad. But, you know, here I just don't sit behind a desk.
Right.
I get out and get with them. I get out where the rubber meets the road in Central America or in Mongolia on the Gobi Desert. I've been to Israel, 48 times? I'll soon be going my 49th time.
Yeah, Lord willing, next month.
Yes. And I could go on and on about the countries and missions that we have participated in. But also, tours and Bible missions are not only just Bible study, it's people. Mm-hmm. And in my book, I tell some stories. I remember in, I think it was 1978, I led a tour of something like 103, maybe 7 members to 7 countries, including Egypt, Syria, Jordan, and Iraq, and Israel. And we were in Iraq 5 days. That was when Saddam Hussein was at the height of his power. He came in 1969. That's when he became premier, whatever he was at that time. And so one of the countries was Iraq. And I know we were supposed to go up to Mosul or Nineveh on a sleeper train. And we went at dark to get on the train. And we did get on the sleeper train, but then they took us off and put us on 2 coach cars. And then they hooked us on to a ammunition train. Troop train and ammunition train. And they told us that we could not get up out of our seats all night, and they put policemen, military police, up and down with clubs walking up and down our aisles. And they told us that if Israel bombed that train, and there was some fighting going on at that time. Israel was on a military campaign up the Baca Valley, and that's where the ammunition and the trains were going. They were going over to cross Syria to Baca Valley. And they put us on that train. And they said, if Israel bombs this train, Israel will get blamed for killing y'all.
Mm. So you were their protection, they hoped.
But we did make the trip, got up there, and we did get to see old Nineveh, the ruins, the excavations there, the old palace of Ashurbanipal. The walls of Nineveh, of course, had been restored, but the old walls, you could still see where they were, and the old ziggurats there. A tremendous experience. And we got back to Baghdad, and the next day we went down to Ur, that's south. Ur is still there. It's buried under about 15 feet of sand, but they've taken bulldozers, at least in 1978 they had, and cleared the streets out. And in Iraq, particularly at that time, bathrooms are a premium. And bathrooms are very skimpy and few and far between, even if you can find one. Well, we got all the people on the buses out of Ur and started back. As we got out on the road back to Baghdad, there was a service station, a way station. Stopped to get gasoline, and lo and behold, there was a really live, actual bathroom at the service station. And you can imagine 107 people lined up at a bathroom. Mm. The women, of course, were in front. This is in my book, and I've told the story before, but it's actually true. About the third lady that got in, she was big. She was a large lady, probably 350 pounds. She was a large lady. And that bathroom had a steel door. And she got inside, she couldn't get the door open. It was locked. And she couldn't, tried everything in the world. She said she couldn't get it open. It was jammed. And we had to get her out because it was getting dark. Other people wanted to use the bathroom. We had to get back to Baghdad. Well, there was a transom over the door So we placed the stool down through the transom and told her to stand on it, and we'd try to get her out the transom. Mm. Well, we got her about halfway through the transom, and she got stuck. And we pulled all her clothes off the poor thing, nearly.
Ooh.
And then we still couldn't get her out. And we pushed and shoved, and finally we got, there was some oil there, so we poured some oil on her and tried to get her out. So we still couldn't get her out. So we got and pushed and pushed the poor thing back in the toilet. And luckily, she didn't break any bones. But I sent some men on the tour out to by the highway. There were some poles out there, and they brought a big pole in. And we bashed the side of that privy in and got her out. But that time, the proprietor and other Iraqis were gathering, muttering things, looking at us rather mincingly. So we hurriedly got everyone on the buses and headed back to Baghdad. We did find some reeds, though, up along the Euphrates River.
Well, that's good. Now, you mentioned Ur. That's where this was, right?
Yes.
Is that the same Ur that Abram was where, when God called him?
Well, that's a matter of dispute, but I think it probably was. And, you know, he went north to Haran from
right.
there.
Yeah, right. Well, these tours are very interesting. Now, Brother Hutchings, those people who are listening to the program today that are going with you next month on the tour, we pray that they don't have any of those kind of experiences. But if you'd like to read that story again and others that Brother Hutchings has, it's in the book, As It Is in the Days of Noah. This is the new updated edition. You can get a copy of it for a gift of $18 by calling 1-800-652-1144. Or you can write for it. The mailing address is Southwest Radio Church Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. And the website address, www.swrc.com.
I have several stories about tours. And another one, and a favorite of mine, and this actually happened. One time I was in Israel on a tour a few years ago, and there was a lady on my tour, Mrs. Duckworth. Her husband was a pastor, and I looked in the telephone book not long ago, and evidently he's still pastoring a church down at Dallas. Well, Mrs. Duckworth, when we were about to go to the Dead Sea, came to me privately and said, "Brother Hutchings, the real reason I came to Israel was to swim in the Dead Sea." I said, "Oh?" She said, "Yes, because I've never learned to swim." She said, "When I was a girl, I tried to swim. My brothers tried to teach me to swim. My classmates tried to teach me to swim. I joined the YWCA and took classes and couldn't learn to swim." And said, "There was a young man in my church by the name of Duckworth." And she said, "I thought, well, maybe if I change my name to Duckworth, that will help me to swim." So I married young Mr. Duckworth. But it didn't help. He couldn't teach me to swim. Mm. And my children never could teach me to swim. And said, finally, my grandson came to me and said, "Grandma, there is one place you can swim. And that's in the Dead Sea because you can't sink," which is true. You can't sink in the Dead Sea. There is one problem with the Dead Sea, is when you wade in about hip deep, you automatically pop up on top of the water because you are lighter than the water. The water is about like 20 weight motor oil.
Hmm.
So I said, "Well, we're going to be at the Dead Sea in an hour or two." And so we did. We checked in there at the hotel at the Dead Sea, and I went down on the beach there in a lounge chair waiting for the tour group to come out. All those who wanted to swim in the Dead Sea, here they came down running, and here come Mrs. Duckworth. But I had warned them to be careful. They sit down and dog paddle, don't rush out in there. because you don't know which end is going to come up and settle like a bottle with a cork in it. You throw it out, you don't know which end is going to come up. And the water is poisonous, and it really stings your eyes. Mm. And you swallow it, you have to probably see a doctor because you have some serious problems. So Mrs. Duckworth came down, and but about that time, someone distracted my attention to something else. And about 2 or 3 minutes later, I looked around, and Mrs. Duckworth had charged out in the lake, and sure enough, there she was with her head under the water and her feet sticking straight up. So one of the hotel attendants and I rushed out there, dragged her back to the shore, pumped the water out of her, got her a doctor, and I checked on her several times that night. And the next morning, she got up. She was feeling okay, better, a little sickly. But when we got on the bus, she came to me and said, "Brother Hutchings, I guess God never intended for me to swim." And I told her, I said, "Sister Duckworth, He's saving the best for the last. When you get to heaven, there's going to be a big lake up there, and you're going to spend the first 10,000 years swimming from one end of that beautiful lake to the other." And she gave me a kind of sickly smile, patted me on the head, and got on the bus.
Well, that story and many others are in the updated book, As It Is in the Days of Noah. Don't miss this opportunity to get it. Even if you have the original, be sure to get the new version, because Brother Hutchings brings you up to date on what has happened to him and Southwest Radio Church Ministries since the original printing in 1998. Get one copy of the 360-page book for an offering of $18, or two copies when you send a $30 gift. There are three ways to place your order: telephone, mail, or the internet. The web address is www.swrc.com. The mailing address, Southwest Radio Church Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma 73008. To place your order by phone, call 1-800-652-1144. And don't forget, this is Station Identification and Response Month. As Brother Hutchings mentioned earlier in the week, if you want your Watchman on the Wall program to continue on this station, give us a call or write us. And, of course, if you can include a contribution to help pay the radio bill, I guarantee that'll be greatly appreciated. Again, the number to call is 1-800-652-1144, and the mailing address is Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma 73008. So thanks in advance for helping us with this bit of paperwork. Brother Hutchings, I believe we have time for me to mention the upcoming Heartland Bible and Prophecy Conference. It's scheduled for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, October 27th, 28th, and 29th. It'll be right here in Oklahoma City. We'll be at the Clarion Hotel and Convention Center, located at Interstate 40 and Meridian Avenue. We've invited such outstanding speakers as Dr. Jack Wheaton, Bill Federer, Jimmy DeYoung, Dr. Nick Begish, and the Southwest Radio crew, of course, Brother Hutchings, Dr. Larry Spargimino, Dr. Bob Glaze, and Kenneth Hill. There'll also be others speaking. There is a registration fee at the door, but you can avoid that by pre-registering. Just call 1-800-652-1144 and let us know how many will be coming with you, and you won't pay the registration fee. Again, the number to call is 1-800-652-1144. Stay tuned now for a Bible in the News report on most of these stations, and join us tomorrow for the conclusion of this series on the Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Church Ministries. From Oklahoma City, today's Bible in the News report is presented by Dr. Larry Spargimino.
The tragedy of New Orleans is that it wasn't just Hurricane Katrina that did the damage. Yes, the winds blew and the storm surge ruptured the levee, but there is more here than meets the eye. Reading from the New York Daily News for September the 4th, 2005, and I quote it, "By almost every statistical measure, New Orleans is a bad place to be poor. Half of the city's households make less than $28,000 a year, and 28% of the population lives in poverty. And Louisiana is the only one of the 50 states where the state legislature doesn't allocate money to pay for the legal defense of indigent defendants. The Associated Press reported this year that it's not unusual for poor people charged with crimes to stay in jail for 9 months before getting a lawyer appointed. These government failures are not merely a matter of incompetence. Louisiana and New Orleans have a long, well-known reputation for corruption. As former Congressman Billy Tausen once put it, half of Louisiana is underwater and the other half is under indictment. That's putting it mildly. Adjusted for population size, the state ranks third in the number of elected officials convicted of crimes. Mississippi is number one. Recent scandals include the conviction of 14 state judges and an FBI raid on the business and personal files of a Louisiana congressman. In 1991, a notoriously corrupt Democrat named Edwin Edwards ran for governor against Republican David Duke, a former head of the Ku Klux Klan. Edwards, whose winning campaign included bumper stickers saying "Elect the Crook," is currently serving a 10-year prison sentence for taking bribes from casino owners. Duke recently completed his own prison term for tax fraud. Close quotes. It's easy to blame the federal government or the president for everything that should have and could have been done in New Orleans. It is also easy to look to the federal government as Big Brother, who will help us in every situation. But local and state officials have an important role to play in the lives of their citizens. Sin is a terrible thing. It put Jesus Christ, the spotless Son of God, on Calvary's cross. It also damages lives individually and corporately. When selfish men are in authority, everyone suffers. Proverbs 29:2 explains it quite well. Quote, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." Close quotes.
And that's today's Bible in the News report. These radio reports are available in printed form in a Bible in the News magazine, which is published 12 times a year. To receive a sample copy of the magazine, call or write Southwest Radio Church Ministries. The phone number to call is 1-800-652-1144. Write to Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. If, after receiving the magazine, you'd like to subscribe, the annual gift amount is only $35. If you find stories such as the one you heard today interesting, consider subscribing. Call or write today for your sample copy of the Bible in the News magazine, a publication of Southwest Radio Church Ministries. The phone number to call is 1-800-652-1144. Write to Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. Be sure to join us for the next Watchman on the Wall program and another Bible in the News report on this station.